I didn't know what my life's purpose was. And guess where it was? It was hidden in my pain.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. And today on the highlight, a real builder for authors known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of podcastguest.com, the wonderful site where aspiring podcast guests can have a good old media one sheet for the world to see and invite them to be on their podcast, maybe invite them to speak at their corporate event and such, win for podcast hosts like myself to have their email blasted to 40,000 other emails for guests. And my goodness, we have a diamond in the rough. We got a diamond needle in the haystack, y'all. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat, y'all. That's right, indeed. Because today's wonderful guest, she's a fellow bookcaster, y'all. So not only she joined the business of immortality, known as authorship, with multiple books, she's also a podcast host as well. So she's double dipping, y'all. That's right, indeed, in the good content, indeed. She's also a mental health advocate, media veteran, filmmaker, artist, speaker, and spiritual teacher. So let's give it up for the gorgeous and curious Gina Cavalier. How you doing today, Gina?
Hello. So nice to be here. Thank you for calling me curious. That is definitely, you know, something I am very proud of. I'm going to add that to my bio.
There you go. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. She's got a bright head and a shoulders. She's found the fountain of youth. That's right, indeed. That's right. Yes. The fountain of knowledge, too.
Yes. Right. Oh, please. It's funny because, you know, in my youth, a lot of people considered me to not be a bookworm, not be somebody who was a lover of books. And now to see that, you know, I've got two publishing deals, I've got a wall full of books that I'm constantly like engaging in, I think it would shock them. But I think it's a testament how, you know, we can all change, actually. We can change into the life that we want. And that's, you know, kind of what I did through my transformational journey to get to becoming an author. I always wanted to write since I was a kid, and I got said no for, you know, 40 something years. And I don't know, I had the passion, I had the bug, I never let it go. I just kept turning those no's and saying, but it's in my heart. So it finally happened. And so now I feel very lucky and cherished, you know, that I get to, you know, be a part of the authorship world.
Oh, yes, yeah, right, indeed. It's right, indeed. All the cherishing. It's right, indeed. It's right. She's cherished now, but apparently it wasn't always a thing. I heard you had to deal with some landmines and time bandits and pitfalls and acid trips that didn't involve acid.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, my goodness. So, with that, any advice for those going through their time of avoiding landmines these days, since you avoided multiple?
Well, you know, I just believe if you're a writer and that's what you're drawn to, you can put it down for periods of time, but it will always come sneaking back up. If you get in your head and start talking yourself out of it, you know, 6 months later, you got another idea and you got to start jotting it down. You know, if that is what you know your soul's purpose is, just do it. You know, let it flow and let it work itself out. Also, you know, I've become such a better writer. I just want to, you know, I have to pat myself on the back a little bit now after the fact that I have, you know, the suicidal ideation that is coming out. But this was my first published book. you know, when you get a publishing deal and you're on a, you know, we were writing a chapter a week and I was also doing the illustrations for it. You learn how to become an author. You learn how to self-edit in a way that is, you know, it just upped my game so much. And, you know, I'm actually, you know, way more of a prolific writer. I can say that now than I've ever been in my life. I had no idea that all of a sudden I could actually become that confident in my writing. And so confidence comes with practice. And, you know, I know that said, it's like, no, duh, of course it does, but there's something that will just switch all of a sudden. So if you don't keep going and keep pursuing, that switch won't be able to happen. So just keep going 100%, because if it's in your heart, it's not going away. Unfortunately, it is a part of you. So embrace it now. And whatever your genre is, whatever your passion is, there's always room for one more book. Always. And we can get into the process of how I got a publishing deal if you want to, if that's something that would pique your interest of your listeners.
Yeah, sure thing, because I heard you were borderline homeless at the time, right?
Yeah.
Dealing with some nonsense. What had happened?
Yeah, I mean, I had owned a home since I was 23. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life, and I sold my house, and, you know, I'm in my 50s, and I had a young boyfriend, and he saw dollar signs, and he had me invest and move money and put money into all these other areas. And unbeknownst to me, we moved to Montana. He was seeing someone else, and, you know, I pretty much lost pretty much all my retirement. And then I had to try to sue him, and it was a really big mess. So I had to kind of start all over again. I was staying in my friend's trailer at 54. Lost my entire retirement. And through my podcast, I met a doctor on the show, and Dr. Amelia Kelly. And something just, you know, and I'm also a spiritual teacher, and, you know, my intuition is pretty sharp, and I really work on myself and kind of worked out a lot of my cobwebs. It doesn't mean bad things don't still happen, obviously. And something kept telling me to ask her to write this book that was in my mind for a really long time, which is Surviving Suicidal Ideation. And the reason is that I knew that I could write my parts, which was my lived experience and healing from suicidal thoughts, and also all my spiritual teachings. But I just felt like they needed to have something more, because to me, I want to save people's lives, and they need to have a clinical voice. Some people need to have that medical representation. And I didn't want to just be that girl that just said that, you know, she healed it in herself. And so I asked her to write it with me. She said yes. And we wrote a really nice proposal. Thank goodness, you know, I'm good at writing proposals. That's, you know, in my old job. So I got to use my old skills and my old job for my proposal writing at, you know, I worked at Warner Brothers and Disney and all this stuff. And, you know, all that past work and expertise just came flooding back, and everything you've ever done in your past really will help you into the future. And I actually just bought a book on Amazon, which had lists all the publishers in America. And I just picked out which ones I liked, which was probably about 60. And I sent out the proposal, and we wound up getting 4 offers. So it was random. I didn't know the people. I didn't have contacts. That's why I want to tell people you can do it. And it's one of the main books on Amazon, and I can email it to you. And it's just like really the writer's Bible. But it was like, felt like a little bit of a mini miracle. Maybe because my topic was kind of a hot topic in media right now, you know, trying to help people with suicidal thoughts. I think that was probably one of the reasons why. But regardless, you know, it's thought as well, how am I going to get a publishing deal if I don't have a contact? Or how do you get started? You know, how do you get your first deal? I know so many writers have never gotten a single publishing deal, and they self-publish, and that's fine too. But a lot of times they want to have that publishing deal. They want to have a partner. They want to feel validated, and it feels really good, honestly. So I wouldn't say let that dream go away just because you don't know anybody. You can write a beautiful proposal, and I'm always even happy to share my proposal, which a lot of people don't share things enough. And I want to help people. You know, people can email me at Gina@theliberatedhealer.com, and I'll, because the book is already out, I'll share my proposal with you. So you have like a step on how to do it. I just want to see people do the things that they love, because when you do the thing that you love, you get healed, you get happier, you fall in the flow, and then all the people around you feel the same way. So we all have to be a community and help each other. So I'm happy to do that.
So I'm talking about indeed. That's freaking awesome. Yeah. Freaking huge indeed. Good old listening to that intuition. You love to see it. Indeed, because usually it works when you do.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, you know, I'm a spiritual teacher too. So sharpening my intuition saved my life. Being my own best friend, you know, learning how to self-love. But, you know, really paying attention to everything around me. And learning that we're all energy, and that a lot, and that most people are really doing the best that they can. So maybe even pre-forgive people for the things that they do, and, you know, learn how to walk away and learn how to, you know, walk away from things that are no longer working for you and things like, yeah, but intuition is a big topic for me. But in the right, so we went with the Swedenborg Foundation because they're a nonprofit, and my second book is going to be with O Books because they wanted the book and they didn't get it. So I got my second book deal with them, but the first book deal is perfect to be with Swedenborg Foundation. They're a nonprofit. So the book is really affordable. I mean, this is a really pretty big book. It's only $20. Usually this book would probably be more like $40. And they really have a foundational message of supporting people through heavy topics. They're very much a spiritual organization, but I didn't find that it was like a lot of hiccups with the spirituality part, which I thought was going to be thinking that, oh, maybe this is sort of, you know, they have their own way of doing, talking about spirituality and things like that. And they weren't, they let me kind of speak my mind in the book about my views on spirituality. So they just really were a great team. And super excited. And even our first meeting, they had pretty much all the heads of every division on our Zoom call. So they had the VP of programming and the VP of content and the CEO. Like they told us, like, we want your book, you know. And I think that's sort of old school. And I appreciate old school. We just don't, you don't get the time taken out for special, to make people feel special anymore, to make them feel wanted or heard. Very often, you know, and, you know, that just made me feel like I was in the right hands with the Swedenborg Foundation. And working out with the layout girl, I actually did the artwork, and I did the artwork on the cover as well. So they gave me a chance to put my art on the cover. I mean, another, like, really? I got to have, like, my art, you know, is in this book and on the cover. And, like, that's like two dreams happening at one time. But I found a new place. I'm kind of living by the beach. I'm actually like the happiest I've ever been. You know, I'm, you know, hoping the finances will turn around, but, you know, I almost kind of losing all my money actually was in the weirdest way. One of the best things that ever happened to me. And I know people hear this story and I wouldn't have believed it, but when that happens, there's something that it takes the power of money away from you. Like, you can't hurt me anymore. And money is just energy, and I'm just going to make it again and find it again. And it will be around somehow, somewhere, and it will be created in a way that's for my art. So maybe it'll be more sustainable, or, you know, money that I've received for, you know, a better situation. So no, I have nothing really to complain about other than, you know, I want other people to feel loved and supported. And I, you know, really want to see this suicidal numbers go down, and it's my big mission.
Meant to that, definitely go down indeed. So my goodness, so what was it like making the transition from big time executive to spiritual teacher? Was it just too much pressure, and then out of nowhere you had a Paul to Damascus moment, saw the light?
Well, I just never felt at home. Like, I was a, you know, I'm an overachiever. So you know, I would always get promotions in 6 months. I'd always get take on more projects, and it really filled my ego. And I was around a lot of other people with very big egos, and there was a lot of gossip and drama and contention and competition. And, you know, it just didn't soothe my soul. I never felt like I was in the flow. I just felt, you know, when you're just like, why isn't, like, life should be easier than this? Why does this feel so hard? And I never really felt like I was with the people I'm supposed to be with and in the department or working on the projects I was supposed to. I always felt like something was missing. And I started to get sick, depressed, and gaining weight, and just feeling like already at the age of like 35 or 40, you know, like I feel so old, you know. And I just finally said, you know, I'm going to take all that energy that made me successful and put it back into myself. And I'm going to figure this out. Do I need to work out? Do I need to pray? Do I need to go to a religion? Do I need to do acupuncture? Like, what is it for me? And I literally went on a full committed journey to healing myself. And I, you know, figured it out. For me, it was learning about energy because I was clairvoyant and an empath. And I would soak up everyone else's energy around me. And so I would go home feeling empty, and I was trying to heal people. So it was no wonder I was so sick and tired all the time. And I didn't have the tools to separate the energy. And I didn't have, you know, so for me, learning about energy and colors and how our spirit, you know, is with us all the time and how to kind of cycle that energy, that really absolutely, like, I would say number one, saved my life. I learned how to ground. I wasn't grounded. I was all over the place. Didn't know who I wanted to be, you know, really, like, where, you know, there was just nothing felt settled. And you start to feel lost. And I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. Like, they feel lost. And so you got to make your commitment to your own healing and what's going to, you know, work for you. And then in that process, I just realized, like, I am a good teacher now. You know, I studied for a long time. I did hundreds of readings for free on people, hundreds of energetic readings and healings. And I had processes that I thought were working. And I just said, you know, I want to share this with people. And then started to open up the Liberated Healer and taking clients. And that's when the book came. And now we're doing a documentary, and we're doing an app, a mental health app, and we're doing a Suicidal Ideation Anonymous support group. And I mean, now it's like everything's falling into place. And I just wrote an article the other day for this other magazine. And I didn't even realize this. I said, I didn't know what my life's purpose was. And guess where it was? It was hidden in my pain. Inside my pain was my life purpose. Like, that's a big sentence. I had to go and heal myself. And inside that healing was my life purpose. So I wasn't supposed to even, like, have this, my journey, my particular journey. We all have it differently. I wasn't supposed to become a writer until now. I'm exactly where I was supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be a published writer in my 30s. I wasn't, because I hadn't done the healing. I wouldn't have appreciated it as much. And so I also think that that makes everybody feel a little bit better, because no matter where you are, at what time you are, no matter how old you are perfectly in the place that everything that has happened to you or for you, there's some magic in it. There's a lesson in it. And you will take all those little experiences with you when you get into your flow and your path. And that just makes it so much more beautiful than just having it handed to you. I wouldn't have appreciated this journey if I got a publishing deal. I wouldn't have appreciated it. I just would have been like, oh yeah, you know, it would have just been a thing. Now it's like my baby is my life's work. I'm so proud of myself, and I'm, you know, ecstatic about sharing it with people.
Amen to that. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's right indeed. So overachieving swag, and then good old overabundance of probably pain. And it's like, oh, that's right indeed. Carried a lot of weight up here. It's like, time to let some of it go and then travel a little lighter. In this case, a lot lighter indeed. That's right indeed. She's like, yeah, That's right. Yeah. I'm in the real Gina mode now, y'all. That's right, indeed. The world ain't ready. That's right. They ain't ready for the glam Gina, y'all. That's right, indeed. I was just Gina before. Now I'm the glam Gina.
Yeah, a little bit. I got my shine back. You know, I got my shine back. I was dull, as in, like, you know, when you're carrying all that weight, when you're carrying the burdens and the fears and the wounds and the sorrow, you know, you're heavy, you're energetically, it's hard to get a book deal. It would be hard to get a book deal. It'd be hard to get the job of your dreams. It would be hard to get the relationship of your dreams, you know, when you're carrying all that with you. So learning how to let it all go and, you know, whatever that path is for you, will help any of the writing and the authorship come in. So I'm doing the second book, which is called Planet Walking, A Handbook for the Living. And it literally will have all my illustrations on how I see energy, and also how to perform readings on yourself, how to energetically cleanse your body, what energy looks like. And I feel like it's actually funny because I'm a real big movie buff. And when I was a kid, and Beetlejuice, now Beetlejuice is coming out, Beetlejuice 2 is coming out. But in Beetlejuice, they had a handbook for the recently deceased in the movie. And it was so cute because it was like, here, when you die, you get this book about how to be dead. And I remember being a kid saying, well, where's the book about how to be a human or how to live? And you hear people saying, oh, well, you never get a book, you know, about how to be a mother, how to be this and that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a book about how to be human on planet Earth, basically, you know, what is energy, you know, what is, how we can transmute it, what is light, what is dark, and all that stuff. So that's my second book coming out with O Books. And then a few years ago, I wrote a franchise series, sort of like a Harry Potter type world building type of, I wrote like a 5-book arc with a co-author, Jeanette DePatty. And we actually wrote the first book already. We have 900 pages done. So now they want me to do a movie treatment on the first and second movie. And then we're probably going to package that and sell it to like Disney or somebody. So game on. I mean, literally living in trailer last year, and now game on.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. It's like, hey, Disney, I worked for y'all a few years ago. I came back as a conqueror. I had the Tank of Babbitts. I mean, a movie
I
series.
I loved working for Disney. I was only 19 years old, though, but I loved working for Disney. I used to think it was magical, you know? I did. I worked around Mickey Mouse stuff and, you know, but yeah, I don't know. I would love to be back at Disney again.
Oh, sweet. That's what I'm talking about indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. So I guess you climbed up the ranks there too then, huh? While you were there?
No, I actually had to, I wound up leaving there and going to Fox because they wouldn't give me a promotion when I wanted it. I was very cocky. The thing is that I didn't have the education, and they require certain roles unless you're established to have at that time to have certain like a bachelor's degree or whatever. And I didn't, but I was doing the work. So I was like, if you don't promote me, I'm leaving. And they're like, well, we can't promote you because you don't have a, you know. So I said, okay, fine. And so I just I went to Fox, and then I just skipped around to the other studios and stuff like that. But I finally landed kind of a better role at Warner Brothers in the film marketing department. I worked on like Fantastic Beasts and things like that, and Harry Potter, and which is fun, like a hair, you know, things like that. But honestly, I was so excited to get the job. It was like my dream come true. My grandfather worked there in the 20s. He used to do all the cars, and really into building cars. He built cars like Humphrey Bogart and things like that. And I just was like, oh my God, I'm home. And I actually got like, I walked into like the darkest den you could ever imagine. And it was a lot of dark night of the soul I went through in that department. And not all departments are like this, but it just depends on who's running them. And yeah, it just killed my spirit so much. It was really one of the darkest days, probably some of the more suicidal times of my life was when I worked at Warner Brothers. And it's in my book. I mean, it's just, I didn't want to be there anymore at all. It, you know, I felt like some of the things that had happened to me there was kind of cruel, and it just made me feel like the whole world was against me and I had nothing to provide. And
yeah, so the name of the game is Warner System. That's what it should have been called.
Yeah. I mean, there's great people there and a lot of good departments, but I just happened to get one that was not fun. But it taught me a lot. And you know what it taught me? It taught me as a fighter. It's like, no, you can survive. You can actually survive this. You can climb this mountain. You can get over this hump. And so I'm not even in a bitter place. It's when I talk about my experiences, I'm talking about them through a healed viewpoint, because I just don't carry those energies around with me. They're all gone. They're all let go. They're all healed. And that's the best part about healing, is that you really can get to the point where those traumatic moments, you can talk to them, like talk about it like it was a book or a story. And it didn't even really happen to you almost, because it's so healed. And it's actually one of the reasons why I'm writing so much. I wrote 25,000 words in the last 2 weeks, because
nice.
I'm just sort of writing it like I'm just going sometimes for hours. And I feel like I almost have to get it out, because I'm getting to the point where I'm so healed that I can't tap into that old energy of that pain like I used to. You know, so especially when I'm talking about suicidal thoughts or, you know, not wanting to be here. And I want to be authentic with my words, but I'm getting to a point where I can't remember how it felt to feel suicidal. And that's great, but I have to have that for the book. So I'm sort of on a mission to write this book as fast as I can, because those memories are going away. So I want people to know, and I tell people, you don't have to live your rest of your life with suicidal ideation or thoughts. You literally can heal it to a point where it's gone. Gone. And you know what? I haven't been sick in probably 5 years. I mean, I do correlate it to my spiritual part of it, to my spiritual work, man. It's like, I don't get sick. I mean, I just don't, you know, and I just really do believe it's a part of my spiritual hygiene. And you can manifest, you know, anything you want in your life, your dreams, you know, the relationship that you want. All my relationships are better. Every single person in it, every single romantic partnership, but, you know, there's always trouble there, but but they're better.
Well, hey, shoot, spiritual hygiene is definitely a requirement indeed, especially nowadays where it's like, oh, it's the best place for spiritual development at the moment, because it's like, hey, land of plenty, all the distractions out there. It's like, hey, have those metaphorical six-pack spiritual abs. That's right indeed, that's right indeed. So my goodness, so that creativity you got in that magical mind of yours, so when did you first discover it, and when did you finally feel comfortable and confident with it?
I just discovered it when I was a child, and it was a healing mechanism. I came from an abusive household, which led to my future suicidal ideation. And I would draw, and I would dance, and I would watch movies, and I would dream of storylines and things in my head. And that innocent childlike spirit that can just dream and wonder is so beautiful. And we all have that. And I feel like that's sort of the thing that I like to bring in when I'm writing, is that childlike spirit where it's, you know, you just, you know, you're skipping along the street, or you'll jump in a puddle or in a pile of leaves, like unabashedly. So that's sort of the energy I like to tap into when I'm creating. And I love it. The way that I write is I can almost see the pages and what's supposed to be on them, like a movie reel. And I think this is a part of my clairvoyance, because I do healings, but I can just almost see it. And especially when I'm writing a movie or like a visual book, I can see like what the characters look like. I can see where they're all standing. I can see what they're saying, almost see and hear and know what they're saying. And so that's why I write so fast when I'm writing. One of the scripts I wrote that in 3 days, 125 pages, because I could just literally, it's almost like it's like a movie playing, and I'm really just transcribing it at one point. And so a lot of my writing is that way, where it just, you know, unfolds and it flows. Once you have the idea and the name and the, like, it's almost like a little mini movie, and I'm just trying to capture it and put it down on paper. That's my process anyways. I know everybody's different.
Ain't nothing wrong with different now. Shoot. It's right indeed. Yeah. That's how we get the metaphorical rainbow. It's right indeed. Ain't nothing wrong with different now.
But I can't write like that all the time. So it would be like maybe 3 days like that. And then I would have to take a couple days off. Cause it's like, some, you know, I've written for 10 hours straight. I've written for times where I probably didn't even get up and go to the bathroom. I was just so focused on getting out what I was seeing. I was afraid to lose the vision.
That's freaking insane. So is writer's block even a thing for you?
Not anymore. I definitely go back to the spirituality. If I do have a writer's block or I'm confused, I'd stop and I understand that everything has its own timing. And then I just kind of ask the universe for like signs, which direction am I supposed to go? And I usually, within a couple of days, like all of a sudden, I will overhear something on YouTube, or I will get a text message, or something will just connect the dots and be like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do. So it's having that keen awareness to your environment. And because I believe that as a writer, like, I'm not writing any of this myself. That's why another thing I love about spirit, I feel like I'm writing this with the universe, with other writers, with other guys, with other energy. They're right behind me. They're with me. They're encouraging me. It's not a solo sport in a way, you know, and that's so magical for me. I really do see my writing as a collaborative effort, and to the point where I mess up my pronouns a lot, because I will say when I'm writing, we think this, we think we feel this, you know. And it's because I'm kind of channeling energy in a multiple of things. So that's been the challenge for the editor and for me to put out, because, and I've had it, I explained it in the second book. I was like, sometimes you're going to hear me say I, and sometimes you're going to hear me say we, and I don't want to change it because it's authentically coming out that way. And an editor is going to be like, you need to have it always the same tense. And, you know, I understand rules and I appreciate them because it's old school. Like, we go back to the old school, but you know, some things were just, rules were just made to be broken. And when you're doing a channeled book, you know, for human existence, I mean, you're going to have to break a few rules.
Well, I mean, hey, sure, man, if it's called the Human Handbook, sure. Well, it's going to happen. Not all the humans abide by the rules anyway. So it's like, well, I mean, you're on to something. I mean, no one's going to drive the exact speed limit all the time.
Yeah, why? Those are rules put on by other people. I didn't agree to that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, shoot, I ain't agreed to a lot of stuff. It's like, shoot, why the heck am I even here? It's like, darn it. And where'd this lampshade come from? Why is it over my head? I thought I was talking to a penguin here. Like, what's going on?
Exactly. There you are, being creative.
Oh, yeah. That's right, indeed. Just watch out for the trees. So since you're going on a media tour promoting the magical work that you're doing, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
No, I wouldn't say a question. I feel like I like to do prayers. I like to bring in people together. I like to build a community. It's more about maybe doing a collective thought that anybody that's out there listening that might need to hear it, because everything is dished out as according to the divine plan in a way. And somebody might need to hear right now that, you know, they're enough. They've always been enough, that if whatever is in their heart that they need to get out and create in the world is really meant for them to create in the world, and not to like let anything stop them. And it, even themselves, you know, whether it's a small little poetry book, you know, I have friends that are great writers and they're like, I'm just a poet. It's like, have you seen some of the poets that are out there that just, you know, inspire community, you know, inspire the world, you know, don't use the word just, you know, I'm just, it's just, you know, it's like kind of needing to watch how you communicate to yourself, or I should, or I could, or, you know, things like that. Because in spirit, I believe that these creations are created already out there, and you just need to kind of make it, bring it down into the physical. So it's just sitting there waiting for you to roll it out. And I was so afraid of like my grammar and things like that, because I only have a 9th grade education, and people have find that hard to believe too. So my grammar, even though I was very smart as a child, like my grammar messed up, you know, and I had a lot of people put me down for it. A lot of people, I mean, people laughing at me. I had an agent once that told me never to try to write again, that I should just focus on my art. And she was an agent in Hollywood. And I literally stopped writing for 2 years because that one person told me that I should never write again. And I literally put them as a senior in this world. Their opinion was so senior. And I stopped writing for 2 years until I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I missed it. So, you know, if I have any regrets, it's like regretting those 2 years I listened to one person's advice. I got there. I got grammar tools. I taught myself because it was a passion I wanted to get better at. I hired editors for a while, and I watched what they edited, and I learned from them. So there isn't anything that you can't overcome. And that's why I'll share information with people, because it's like, if you're scared, you don't know what a proposal looks like, you know, I'll share you that this is a proven one that I actually got a book deal from. Like, you know, we've got to help our community, just help each other. We have to ask and we have to help. But a lot of people don't even know how to ask. And that was my problem as well. So, you know, just go for it. Let's flood all these publishers with book ideas.
Heck yeah, flood them. That's right, indeed. Flood them so bad they'll have to call on Noah, be like, come back, Noah. We're getting flooded. Like, whoa. Save us.
Yes.
Hashtag generous Gina. You'll love to see it, indeed. The double G herself, y'all.
Thank you so much. So proud of my book.
Heck yeah. So proud. The first of many book babies, you'll love to see it. That's right, indeed. Well, since your fellow podcast host, always got to ask one of those obligatory questions. So what would you consider your top 3 major lessons learned from starting and running and growing your magical show, The Liberated Healer?
You have to be brave. And there's going to be moments you feel lost. But then there's going to be moments you're going to be found. And you just have to embrace every single one of the things that happen. And you got to laugh your way through the hard shit. Laughter is a secret weapon. There's no such thing as a disability. You know, you turn it into an ability, whatever it is. You see these kids all the time that have, you know, these fatal diseases, and you see them smiling and they just want to be friends and they just want to dance and they just like, and then we have people like myself who was like saying I felt disabled, like, you know, with smaller things like a grammar and stuff like that holding me back. It's like nothing can hold you back if you have the passion in your heart. And also I always say to the community, because I deal with suicidal ideation all the time, we have to really be a community. We have to be kinder. We have to, you know, not share negative memes with people. You carry that with you. You know, when you say a negative comment that you have to say, unless it's really, really important to get a message across that you really need to get across, please don't post that. It could be the last thing that person can handle that moment. And we have too many people suffering, and, you know, we just need to uplift everybody as much as possible. It's just, we have to, and it's everybody's responsibility now to drop the shenanigans, drop the BS, be kinder, recognize we don't need all that negative stuff in the world. And, you know, each person as they do it, we'll start to see a big shift in humanity and how people are talking to each other online. And, you know, we're going to go through shit as a human race. Let's have it go better. Let's have it go up. Let's have it. That's what, you know, I just want to see more positive content.
Oh, the PC we need, baby. Positive content. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed, you'll love to see it. Indeed. Yes, indeed. Name of the game, speak good words to people. Positive words, indeed. Help out somebody. That's right, indeed. Don't just be like, oh, man, we have to freaking send this person to oblivion, cancel them forever over one random thing. It's like, come on now. It's like, relax. Nope. Share something
nice with somebody. You only wind up canceling yourself because you carry that energy with you. And that's one thing that people don't understand.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right, indeed. That psychic baggage can be real. It's like, darn, why are you carrying a 100-pound suitcase for? Like, come on. It's not going to make it through baggage. Let me stop. Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. Actually, before that one, is this going to be on audio, too?
I don't know. I'm actually hoping so. I actually found a couple voice artists that I really would love to have it on. So we're going to broach that soon and see how the book does coming out. I mean, we just have high hopes that it's going to, you know, there's the need for people who have suicidal ideation is huge around the world. You know, we have 1 million people a year that we're losing worldwide. So, and those are the people that have actually, left the planet. So people that are suffering right now, we don't know what the numbers could be. So we're hoping if that happens, then we'll be able to get the funding to do it in audio.
There we go. Sorry, dude. Need to get you to do it. Get that.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Maybe.
Yeah, that's right, indeed. Be like, yeah, have this calming voice talking to him. Be like, hey, y'all. That's right, indeed. These are the facts. And then this is what folks be telling people, like, hey, avoid this, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right. Check out this pretty photo, y'all. I did that. That's right, indeed. Me, darn it. Yes. Me. That's right. Or at least do the other book. You got two options. You could do both. Maybe do at least one of them.
Yes. Right,
indeed. Get that Gina voice in their ears. Get it in their brains. Be like, yeah. like I'm Gina and I'm in your brain now. I got real estate, baby.
Some real estate in your head. Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can hear myself all that time.
Oh, you'll grow to like it. You got a podcast too. You'll be fine. I know.
Never thought I would talk so much in my life.
There you go. Your words today can help somebody tomorrow, if not today already. Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. Anyways, back to the original random destination. So my goodness, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh my gosh, just to be free and liberated and enjoy the youth. Oh my gosh, for sure. Just, you know, I would just loved it if I had dropped all the baggage, all the shoulda, woulda, and couldas. And just been a little more free, a little bit more liberated, you know, run in the ocean a little bit more, you know, not be such an overachiever. I missed my 20s just working, you know, to the point where it was, I didn't really get to enjoy my life that much. I'd love to get that back. Thank you. I'd love to have that vision tonight.
There you go. That's right, indeed. That's right. She probably hasn't aged in like freaking 30 years. So it'll be like,
yeah.
I can't even tell the difference. Oh, yeah. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, I probably scratched the magical surface and she has so much more to offer. So for those who need to get into the world in the wonderful land of Gina Land and cop some copies of her magical books and keep up with your journey, what's the best way for folks to do so?
TheLiberatedHealer.com, and you can get a hold of me there. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. And then the book is Surviving Suicidal Ideation, co-authored by Dr. Amelia Kelly, From Therapy to Spirituality and the Lived Experience. Share it, get it with someone who might be suffering that wants to just do the work at home, alone, or whichever. So thank you to the Swedenborg Foundation. Thank you to you for inviting me to be on your show. And all listeners, and absolutely wishing them just the best life.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's right indeed. The BL we all need, y'all. The best life. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Save the butt lift for those old workout DVDs. Get the best life, y'all. That's right.
Thank you for all your hard work. Thank you for all the hard work to get the messages out. Write that book.
That's right indeed, y'all. Right of the day. So check it out, y'all. Good stuff indeed. Any other parting words before we close up shop, Gina?
I love you. I always have and I always will. All y'all.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being fabulous.